message today that unless you are a preacher, unless you are a pastor, unless you are a soul winner, probably don't feel the way I feel today. And I never try to say to anybody, I know how you feel. One of the things that they taught us in our intern program and years ago, if you're ever ministering to a family that's lost a loved one or going through a crisis, one of the things that they taught us even then not to say is, I know how you feel. Because you don't know how another person feels. You can be sympathetic and you can be empathetic if you've went through what they've went through. But to look at somebody and say, I know how you feel is always a very far stretch for any of us. But I want to feel like Jesus felt when I think about the scripture that I am going to read before you this evening or this afternoon, this morning. I'll get there this evening, but this morning. And this is a very familiar portion of scripture, and it's in John chapter 3. If we ask most individuals in this room today, what does John 3:16 say? Most everyone in this room would be able to quote John 3:16. But before you ever get to John 3:16, there's John chapter number 3, verse 1. And we're going to pick up reading there when Jesus did ministry on the earth. I believe that there was one thing that drove him. I do know that, I can't say I'm like Jesus, but I want to have a burden like Jesus as it comes to winning the lost. Jesus died for the lost. Jesus gave his life that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus, when I began to look at the scripture, I began to think about like a message I'm going to preach this morning. Again, if you were preaching it, you could preach it your way, but this is the only way I can process it. But I think that every day that Jesus lived, even at the age 12, when Jesus was there confounding the doctors and the lawyers, Jesus knew that his life was on mission to die for lost, broken people. He knew that he came to this world, he came to this earth to die for sinners. I believe that even while from Jesus' youth, when Jesus was there and Mary and Joseph had went on their way and they had lost Jesus in the crowd, that they turned back to find him and he was there in the temple. And then Jesus' words was simply this: wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Now, I don't know if I'm going to make you shout today or make you cry. I have no idea. But I will say this, that I pray that God would touch Thomasville Church of God. I'm not at the Wesleyan Church this morning. I'm not at the Methodist Church. I'm not at the Presbyterian. I'm not at the main church downtown. I'm not at that church. I'm at this church. Something is stirring on the inside of me, folks, that we've got to become better soul winners. But unless we are looking for lost souls, we most likely will not become a soul-winning church. What would it be like today if we actually took on the burden of Jesus to become a soul-winning church? To have that predetermined in our heart and our mind. Yes, I like our programs. And yes, I like keeping everybody busy and doing the things that we do. But bottom line is simply this: that Jesus died for sinners. That Jesus gave his life for sinners. Jesus had a mission. And I hope that I can share a few things with you today that will help us to understand that. This scripture text that I read to you, or I'm going to read to you, is a very familiar text. It's where Jesus there picks up and he finds a man by the name of Nicodemus. Verse 1 says he's the ruler of the Jews. So he had a very prominent position And the Bible says in verse number 2 that he came to Jesus in the secret of night. I don't know that it was for him not to be seen by the other people because of his prominent position that he was in, that he didn't want anybody to see him. Most commentaries have a different variety of a reason for that. I don't know that he even wanted to be seen with Jesus, but he was curious enough about what Jesus was and who Jesus was that he was willing to take a risk to go see Jesus. Isn't it amazing how people will tell you, looking from the outside in, and they will tell you that there's nothing to this Jesus stuff? Isn't it amazing that people that's never been saved and people that's never been born again, how quickly they discount the reality of who Jesus Christ truly is? But unto us that are saved, but unto us who have had a spiritual encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we know that Jesus Christ is Lord over our lives, and we know that He is our Savior. Oh, it's like I heard an old Southern gospel song that said, "Heaven, I wouldn't miss it for this world." So there's a reality that comes when we have an encounter with Jesus today. But let me read this to you and work my way through some of this morning. The Bible says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Verse 3 and following, let me roll through this. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Verse 5. "And Jesus came and he looked at this man who was filled with questions." He was filled with so many questions, and he didn't even have all the answers that he was looking for. But let me just put a little plug in right here. If you're here today and you're trying to figure out this man by the name of Jesus, maybe you're trying to figure out how that he came and was conceived in the womb of a little virgin, Mary. Maybe you're here today and you're trying to figure out how that Jesus lived a spotless life. Maybe you're trying to figure out how the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Maybe today you're trying to figure out how that Jesus called fishermen and made disciples out of them, and they hung out with him for 3.5 years, and how that he went to the cross. Maybe today you're trying to figure out how that they murdered him and hung him on an old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Maybe today you're trying to figure all of that out. Maybe you're trying to figure out how that the angel said, "Oh, why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here, he is risen as he said." Maybe you were trying to figure out today that Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Our world today is filled with so many questions today. But my friend, may I submit unto you today that the only way that we can truly ever know the answer to all the questions is to come and put your hand in the hand of a man who stilled the water. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to put your hand in the hand of the man who can take 2 fish and 5 loaves and feed 5,000. My friend, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you've got to know him for yourself today. Hearing about him is not enough. You've got to know Jesus today. Oh, hallelujah to the glory, glorified God today. When I began to think about this text all over the weekend, and I was processing it in my own heart, it wasn't enough for Nicodemus just to hear about him. Hello? That's the problem that Brother Robert, that we're running into today. There's a lot of people hearing about him. There's a lot of people discounting this man named Jesus today. But my friend, you anybody that's ever met him, anybody that's ever had an encounter with Jesus, My life, their life, my life and their lives have been transformed by the living God today. So again, his life was filled with so many questions. And he had an encounter with Jesus there, and in verse number 5, in our key verse today. In our key verse today, Jesus was looking at this man by the name of Nicodemus. And these are the very words that he told him. He says in the word, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let me roll on in verse number 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then he says in verse 7, Jesus, this word marvel is a word that means to wonder, to question, marvel not. And Jesus said that I say unto thee, I love this phrase that Jesus put in here. You must be born again. When I began to think about that phrase again over the last several days that I knew I would be preaching this message, I also thought about the simple fact that Jesus did not tell Nicodemus to do something that it was impossible for him to acquire. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Jesus provided a way for you and I to escape impending judgment when he died on the cross. The Bible is a constant reminder to you. The Bible is a constant reminder to me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which again reminds me, oh, not only have I sinned and come short of the glory of God, I have sinned. I try not to ever do that. But my friend, you and I know today that there are times that we do sin. Not on purpose, not intentionally, not for the simple fact of going out and doing something wrong, but when we do, thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, my friend. He is evermore making intercession for you and me today. I began to think about this. I begin to think about the simple fact that Jesus Christ, watch this, has already done everything that he will ever do as it pertains to your salvation. And there are these knotheads, as I call them, these people that think that they are stronger than God, and they think that they are to the place in their life that they don't need any help, that they don't need anybody. They think they're their own person and all of this. But the Bible also reminds me that Jesus Christ took on himself the form of God. He thought it not robbery, but he took upon himself the form of God. And again, when we think about that scripture over there in the book of Philippians, the latter part of that verse, and it just simply says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. The Bible reminds us again when we think about the scripture that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I don't always mean to be so blunt and so bold and so forward, if you will, but all weekend in the back of my mind, Brother Steve, I processed this in my own mind and trying to see how God wanted me to preach this message. And the only way that I could formulate this in my own mind today, Brother Charles, I hope that's adequate. You're in my side of zone this morning. Is to know, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, he was on a mission. It was Jesus' intent, Brother Bob, to see Nicodemus saved. We know Nicodemus was saved. We know that Nicodemus' life was changed. Because this same Nicodemus ended up with Joseph of Arimathea when they took Jesus from the cross and put him in Joseph's tomb. Nicodemus was there. But here's the thing that I thought about. Jesus was on a soul-winning mission. Jesus was looking for the lost. Jesus' intent was to find the lost. And I begin to think about this, and I know that there was so many throngs of people that came to Jesus, multitudes Over and over you can read about multitudes of those that was coming to Jesus. And I know Nick mentioned this, I believe, last weekend. But there was this one guy, his name was Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus, however you want to pronounce his name. Heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he climbed and he went up into a tree, and Jesus came on his way. I can only imagine being Zacchaeus as he was up there in the tree. And I don't know, I have to use my imagination a little bit. And only thing I was thinking about was Jesus coming down the dusty road, as Kyle Taylor used to sing that song. And I was thinking about Jesus, Zacchaeus up in the tree, Jesus coming down the road. And Brother Jesse, there was an anticipation. I don't know how it was, but he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Oh, he's coming, I heard he's on his way. The crowd was there. He began to get excited. Jesus is coming. That's the child of God. We know the excitement of knowing that Jesus is coming again. But for the lost, it might be different. For the lost, it's drudgery. For the lost, they don't understand the zeal. They don't understand the excitement. They don't understand why this preacher gets up here and screams and hollers and does the thing he does, because Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in your bones. But the thing that's pushing me this morning is there's an internal force inside of me. And the only thing I hear the Holy Ghost saying to me is this: go and tell the story one more time. Go and tell somebody about Jesus. There's something in me that's driving me. It drives me. I think it drove Jesus. I think when Jesus, all the time in John 4 in different places, when the disciples was there and the disciples was telling Jesus to eat, he says, eat bread, you're perishing, you've not eaten, Master. And we've got some food. Jesus said, I eat that meat that you know not of. I'm eating, but it's not what you think. And Jesus knew even then. He says that my meat is that of the Father. The Father was feeding him. He was feeding his heart. He was feeding his spirit. So I hope over the next few minutes of time that God will help us to understand as a group, as a church, as the family of God here at Thomasville. I pray that somehow we come under the burden of the lost. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be boisterous. You don't have to be condescending. You don't have to be judgmental. You don't have to be in somebody's face with your fingers saying, if you don't repent, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And stuff like that turns people off quicker than anything. That used to be Alan Green years ago. I'd get in your face in a heartbeat and I'd tell you, if you don't get right with God, you're going to split hell wide open, and I'm going to be there to see you do it. I was that rough, man. I believe God sort of changed me a little bit. Because I think today building relationship is more important. Jesus built relationship. Jesus built relationship everywhere he went. But Jesus had a burden for the lost. Several scriptures I want to share with you as we try to work our way through page one. I'll try to get into the other stuff later this evening or next time. How do I know that Jesus was concerned about the lost? I think Jesus always talked about the lost. Now don't get mad at the preachers too early in the message. Now watch this. Here's a danger point. I'm just pastoring today. It is so dangerous for a church just to be saved and satisfied. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm on my way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. Let's just not worry about anything else. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus spent all of his energies and his efforts to win the lost. Is the lost going to cost money? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's going to cost money. Is winning the lost going to cost you your time? Absolutely, it's going to cost you your time. I heard Pastor Boland preach the three T's one time. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. It's going to take everybody doing their part, no matter if it's a little bitty part or a great big part. Hey, God, just let me be a part. Now let me again put this in perspective. Serving Jesus should never be a drudgery. It should never be something that, oh God, it's time to get up and go to church this morning. It should be, hey, woo! Today's Sunday. Let's get up and get at it. Come on. We're going to go fight the devil. We're going to go kick the devil's hiney. Come on, somebody. Now, everybody ain't that way. Just drink another cup of coffee and you'll get that way by 11. My point is facetious and a little funny, but yet in the same regards, there's a value to what we're doing. You say, well, where are we going in the future, Pastor? As God leads us, I hope that we can see souls saved. I hope we can see young families come to our church. And I hope that we are prepared for them when they come. And as we see God move in other areas of the church, that we will develop and become the church that God can put people into, because He knows that He can trust us with what He's sending us. Hello? I'm going to take a little side trail here for a minute. So how do I know? Well, first of all, let me back up and say this. First of all, Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. If you're under the sound of my voice, whether online or in this room, the greatest thing you can do for yourself, are you ready? Is to get saved. To get saved. To give your heart to Jesus. You say, I'm not a religious person. I don't get all up into that religion, preacher. Thank God you don't. Because if you get caught up in religion, you're going to miss Jesus. You're going to miss the relationship that God wants you to have with His Son, Jesus. Jesus didn't die for religion. He died to seek and to save that which was lost. When you begin to look in Luke, the book of Luke, there's several scriptures there, and some of them I'm not even going to get into the major part of Luke chapter 15. But again, Jesus was teaching the publicans that was there and the others that was there, even the sinners. The Bible says in Luke 15:1, then drew unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Now, I don't know about you, but that is pretty exciting to me. Oh, the religious crowd of the day, the Pharisee and those of the that lived by the letter of the law, and those that was watching Jesus to see what Jesus was going to end up doing, they were there. They even falsely accused Him with Herod and with Pilate. They were a part of that accusation even then. But here's the thing I don't want you to miss. I wish I had a chair. I think I'd sit down. This is so heavy. There was crowds of sinners to hear Him. We may not be able to get sinners in the church today because, you know, I'm just preaching my heart today, folks. There is a stereotype and there is a stigmatism that has, through the process of time and years, and because of so many bad things and people and hirelings and these shenanigans and all the, that somewhere, Brother Steve, along the way, it's kind of put a stain against the church and it's kind of tarnished the many people's, the world's view of the church. And even other nominal denominations that events has happened in those denominations and those systems, if you will. It trickles down, Brother West, to where it's almost, they put everybody into one cart. And just because, I'm going to say it, just because the Catholic Church does what the Catholic Church does, and just because the liberal churches do what liberal churches do, and just because the pride movement it does what they do, and just because everything's the way it is, hey, friend, it trickles down, and somehow or another it stigmatizes, and they put labels on the church, and people will say, well, if that's what church is, I don't want anything to do with it. When Matthew 14, you don't need to turn there, but I can show you this in the scripture, because Jesus was there with his disciples, and there was a great multitude, Brother Steve, great amount of people. And the disciples said to Jesus, said, hey, let's send these people away to their own cities, and we don't have enough food for them. We cannot take care of them. We don't have ventricles of food. And Jesus said, hey, you don't need to send them away. Take what you have and give to them. That's what Jesus said. And they broke the bread. They broke the fishes. They ended up with about 5,000 plus the women and children. But here's the thing in Matthew 14 that's always got my attention. Before I read this text, this has always got my attention. But in Matthew 14, this is what Jesus said, or the Bible says, and he had compassion on them. Amen. I heard it said one time, never put a sign on your marquee, the most loving church in town, unless you are the most loving church in town. Somebody might get you for false advertisement. Now, I guess all this in my own mind is circulating, because when I begin to read the scripture, and why does the church exist? And there's a lot of things that I could plug in right there. But the church exists for the very reason that Jesus existed. He told his disciples to preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Proclaim. That's the word preach, proclaim. You can do it like Scott, a very, very developed delivery and the way Scott teaches. I get loud and I get boisterous, and that's just who I am, and we're different people, but our purpose is the same. I'm just going to dispel the devil here for just a second, because I ain't nowhere near an outline. I mean, I wrote one, but I ain't nowhere near it. You may feel like in this room today that you've went beyond the ability of winning somebody to the Lord. Do you know, y'all ready for this? That simple kindness. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. I almost got myself in trouble. Guard my mouth, Lord. Turn your stinking frown upside down and smile at somebody every now and then. Is that okay? Oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost. Don't y'all start throwing rotten eggs at me or nothing. Turn your frown upside down. Smile at somebody. Be kind to somebody. Just be good to somebody. And I'm just going to ride this wagon on out of town here this morning, because I tell you, if you're at a restaurant and people know that you're a Christian and you're at Walmart, then people have a hard time. They're some of the crabbiest and hatefulest people I've ever seen in my life in that place. They don't want to be there. They'd rather be fishing. They'd rather be somewhere with their grandchildren. But the necessity of life has, I almost said a non-English word, but I'm going to say it anyway, has snuck up on them. And they're there, and they're laboring, and all of a sudden, it could be just a kind word, Brother Steve, that's going to turn somebody's life upside down. And that ain't in my outline nowhere, I promise you. Well, what has that got to do with winning the lost? I mean, by all means, nobody's got one of them on. Don't wear one of Nick's shirt that says Jesus paid in full, and go to a restaurant or go into a store somewhere and don't represent Jesus paid in full. I mean, don't do that. I'll go ahead and shake that bush again. If you got a Thomasville Church of God shirt on or a logo with my name associated with it, I'm preaching to myself too. Don't go somewhere and be hateful and rude to somebody and say, boy, I tell you what, right now, that's that church right there. I wouldn't. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. Y'all okay? That goes for Facebook too. Be good to people. Nothing wrong with being good to people. And the Bible went on to say this in Luke chapter 15 and 2. And the Pharisee and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh my, Jesus eating with sinners. What are we going to do now? You don't have to participate in their sin. You don't go to the bar and drink a bud with a buddy to try to win your buddy to Sunday school. Come on and preach, preacher, I think I will. That's not the right kind of evangelism. That's not really what we're looking for. Come on, somebody. Maybe you need to have a cheer wine. Come on. Go to Dario and get you a cheer wine. Not wine that will make you cheerful, but you know what a cheer wine is, don't you? Salisbury, you know what I'm talking about. Get you a Coca-Cola, you know. John likes cheer wine. I like cheer wine. But it said Jesus was with sinners. And he eateth with them. And look at this. And in this scripture, Jesus had a heart for the lost. And he said, and he spake a parable unto them. Look in verse number 4. What man if you having 100 sheep, you would think if you had 100, that would be plenty to feed. Some preachers, Brother Tim, they would think, well, I tell you what, Pastor Green, if I had 150 people in my church, great God, I'd be happy as a lark. That's not the point. The point is, you may have 150, but if there's one more lost, we need 151. Oh, God. And he said, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99. Okay, church, you're saved. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're filled with fire. So you're safe, you're good, you're in the fold. But where is the ones we're looking for? Jesus was looking, but it's about us, preacher. We like it this way. We like it comfortable. We like everything just snuggy-wuggy for us. It's not always going to be snuggy-wuggy for you. I told somebody the other day, I said, there's a whole lot of discomfort in life. But you've got to grow some skin. You've got to be bold. You've got to be a good soldier of God. You've got to endure hardness is what Paul told Timothy. I cried my way through my intern program. Did I not? I was working, good gracious, at the hours I was working. I was working at Pepsi, working 15 hours a day, had two kids and doing everything. Brother Steve, I cried my way through my intern program. For 9 months, I was going, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's killing me. I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to get through all of this. 26 books, all the things we had to do, all the requirements we had to do, everything we had to log. You can't lie on a log sheet and turn it into a pastor, a master pastor. You can't do that. And Brother Scott, it was like, it's killing me. They say, what don't kill you only makes you stronger. Amen. I look back at that intern program now. I may tell you something, friend, it was kindergarten stuff. But it was training me. It was developing me. It was stretching me. It was molding me. Pastor Dotson and many other men around my life, they were molding me and shaping me. They were preparing me for what was in front of me. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes ministry is expensive. Sometimes ministry is takes hours, hours. My wife, I can't tell you. Y'all don't know it, I'm not going to get in on it, but I can't tell you the hours that she's even put into this ladies thing. And I can't tell you the hours that she spends helping me and doing the thing. I can't, because it's an everyday. We had to tell someone, hey, this is what we do every day. This is our routine. We do this every single day. Told somebody else the other day that was too much to do, too big a hurry. I said, I have to do this. I keep a calendar every day. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. I go there, I go there, I go there, I go there. Every day I work a calendar. Every day I'm all over, everywhere I'm at. Like, how in the world? And I'll tell you how. Because there's something, Jonathan, on the inside of us as Christians that drives us to Him. God, just let me be your servant. Let me be clay in your hand. Thou art the potter. Everybody, watch this. Everybody has a different skill set. Everybody has things that you can do, abilities, and things you can't do. It would be very, very wrong of you to tell me, Pastor, get up there and play that piano. Now! I'll go do it right now, but I might embarrass Penny. It wouldn't sound nothing like Penny or Nora or any Joe, anybody else that plays it. See, I said all that to say this. Maybe you got to fit in where you fit. I'm gonna brag on him. God help me. Because I've just preached this whole message out of my heart. It didn't go where I thought it would go, but I'm gonna share this with you. Brother Steve went to hell and back. He said it with his own mouth. Now he's found his niche. Before, he didn't have a niche. He was blowing as the wind bloweth. Brother Steve was just floating around, couldn't find his niche, couldn't find his place, doing this and doing that. Now he's sending songs. And before he sends a song, is this okay? Yeah. He's sitting at his table and he's praying and seeking God, worshiping God. And just yesterday, I was in the yard. I was planting some amaryllis. Matter of fact, Shelby, I was planting them into another pot. I like flowers. Leave me alone. And then I was working in my flowers and stuff. And Brother Steve called me. I had a rake in my hand and a phone here. And Brother Steve was talking to me. And all of a sudden, he just broke out in prayer. That's his ministry. It's what God's done in him. And you know what? He's comfortable in his skin now. And you might think, well, I've already heard that song, right? Okay, just say, praise God, Brother Steve, that God is using you, and be encouraged by those that He's encouraging. I used him as an example. I'll pick on Dallas. Come on, somebody. Brother Dallas and Don Gibson, through a series of events, have started ministry now on Wednesday night. Y'all may not even know this. To our young boys. Sorry, young man. You're in my side. You're in my eyeball. But you know, they're ministering to these young boys now on Wednesday night. They're finding their niche. They're finding their place. You got to find your place. And be a soul winner in your place. You say, I ain't got a place. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Pray about it. Seek God for it. And when in the scripture text, the Bible says here, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? That right there to me is the very heart of Jesus. That's the crescendo. That's the very pinnacle point of the ministry of Jesus is to win the lost. I don't know always how we're going to do it. We've tried different ways. We've tried different things. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that we can do even moving forward that we've not done yet. And today's ministry is much different than it was even 10 or 12 or 15 years ago. I'm not blaming COVID. Yes, I am. Sort of. Because we got told, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, we got told, stay away from people. Keep 6 foot. Don't breathe on nobody. Stay, keep your distance. And we got further and further and further behind. I thank God for internet. I thank God for everybody that's listening right now. And they're on there. Y'all don't know, I get told all the time, preacher, I'm listening. I can't come right now, but I'm listening. I know I got people on there right now. I could start calling names of people I probably would think that they would be there. I thank God for that. But don't let that keep you from being a soul winner. Because that alone, the camera alone is not winning souls per se. It is, but it ain't. Because God uses people. And if there wasn't a person behind the camera or a person here, I guess God could still use donkeys, I suppose. But God's looking for a person. God's looking for you, Penny. God's looking for a you. Again, this whole message was not what I thought it would be. I can tell you that. You'll say, well, preacher, I'm not you, and I can't do what you do. You're not supposed to do what I do. Years ago, Brother Bob, I was having an identity crisis. Really, seriously, in ministry, you want to try to find out who you are. You want to try to find who God, you know, are you going to be an evangelist? And, you know, you're going to be a Rod Parsley? Or are you going to be a T.D. Jakes? Or are you going to be a this? Or are you going to be a that? That's my era. Even grew my hair out one time, put a long curly in it, thinking I'd preach like Rod Parsley. Come on, somebody. It didn't work. I thought, you big dummy. Had my wife cut my hair off. Did I not do that? I did it. I did it. I heard T.D. Jakes preach one time when I used to listen to him. I don't much more. I'd rather read my Bible. But I heard T.D. Jakes say something one time. He said, when God needs a T.D. Jakes, he said, I'm the best T.D. Jakes there is. And when God needs you, you're the best you that God can find. Man, Nora, that shifted in me. It's because all of a sudden, I was released from all this expectations of everything that everybody, I thought everybody wanted me to be. Hey, y'all think I'm funny? Man, I used to preach like a bull out of a gate. Man, just open the gate and I would foam and spit and holler and scream for an hour. And then when I'd get done, I'd wonder, what in the world did you even do? It's like going home. Somebody said, well, preacher, that was a good message you preached Sunday morning. Well, what did I preach about? I don't know, but it sure was a good one. That's happened many times. Many times. You got to find out who you are. You've got to be the best you that God has created you to be. And use those gifts and talents and use what you have done. Hey, I'm going to pick on somebody else. I'm sorry, but I'm going to pick on him. I'm going to pick on Horace, and he don't even know it. Don't tell him, because it's me and you. You want a cake? I'm telling you what, that man can bake you a cake. He can show you kindness through a cake. Are you taking orders? He can bake a cake. He can bake chicken casserole. He can bake green beans, cook green beans. That man can cook good. His mama taught him well. But I'll be honest with you, you wouldn't eat anything I cook. I promise you that. She can barely get me to grill something outside. That's how, not my deal. I don't get it. Louise, I don't get it. They say, you need to go buy the recipe. Well, what's a recipe? I mean, this looks to me like you put sugar in, flour in, egg in, this in, this in. You throw it up in the air and gobble it up, and it's supposed to turn out something nice. Somebody said, that ain't the way you do it. That's exactly why I'm not doing it, because I don't know how to do it. But you give Sherry or Horace, I know this because I've ate at their table many times, You give them a recipe. Oh yeah, I can do that. That looks simple enough. It's like, not for me. Find your place and win a soul for Jesus. He said he went after it until he found it. Nicodemus, again to our text, Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus, you can read the rest of that in John chapter number 3. Then Jesus wrapped it up again, and there's a lot more in there than this. But Nicodemus Jesus told Nicodemus that God loves you. God cares for you. God don't want you to die and miss heaven. God don't want you to die and end up in hell. God has done everything he can do. And I thought about that moving into this message over the last day or so as I pondered it. And I thought to myself, is there going to be anybody Sunday morning as I go looking for lost people, somebody that's lost, is anybody going to be there Sunday morning that's never given their heart to Jesus? I don't know. But I'll be honest with you, that has been my whole purpose of this whole entire message, was to share what God put in my heart to make us soul winners. But yet to give an invitation today, if you've never been saved, if you've never given Jesus your heart, if you've never given Jesus your life, today is your day. It's the greatest opportunity that you will ever have. It's to simply say, Jesus, I heard this message. And Jesus, I know you love me. And Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me. And Jesus, I believe that you want me saved today, and I'm willing to be saved. I'm willing to give my heart to Jesus today. Why do you want to delay? Why do you want to put it off? Why do you want to wait? Somebody says, well, I want to wait till I'm older. I want to wait and I want to sow my wild oats. And I want to wait till I'm 25. Yeah, I thought that too. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's some wild oats you don't want to sow. Because you don't want to reap the consequences of that decision. Give your heart to Jesus while you can. Would you stand with me? If you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to God, don't delay. Don't wait and say, I'll do it next week, preacher. Well, the Spirit of God is wooing and drawing and pleading with you over your life. You say, well, preacher, I want to go to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you will not go to heaven. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Jesus said, you've got to be born again. And there's a whole lot more that goes along with that. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you invite him into your heart to be your Lord and your Master and your Savior. You tell him to come and be your Savior today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're in this room today and you could not say to Pastor Green that you're saved, you could not look at Pastor Green today and say, I know where it happened, Pastor. I can take you to the place that it happened, Pastor. If you are in this room today and you've never been born again, would you come up here with me? I'll stand with you. I'll stand with you as we stand for Him. I'll stand with you. And we'll pray together, and we'll get you ready for heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've shared what you put into my heart. Lord, 100%. I've shared what I've pondered on over the last several days about winning the lost. Lord, pleading for the lost, crying for the lost, crying for our children, crying for our family members. God, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And God, I pray now in this room as we are gather together here in your name. That God, if there's one soul in this room, one person in this room, and they've never given their heart to you, Lord, let this be the moment of truth. Let this be the moment of destiny. That they will say, Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth I have sinned. I confess with my mouth that I have missed the mark. But Lord Jesus, today as my head is bowed and my eyes are closed, Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, as I search my own life, that Jesus, that you would come into my heart, that you would forgive me, that you would wash me, that you would cleanse me, that God, that you would make me whole, that God, that I would be prepared to spend all eternity with you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that God, you sent your Son to die on the cross for me, my sins, that I would spend eternity in heaven. Father, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to come into my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If that's you today, would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to do nothing to you, not even going to call you out. Say, preacher, that was me today, and I asked Jesus into my heart this morning to be my Lord and be my Savior. Anyone at all? I've asked Jesus to forgive me of all of my sins. As a few folks have raised their hands today, I just simply say this, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Jesus was a soul-winning Jesus. And if we are going to be modeling our lives after Jesus and His mission on earth, folks, listen, and then we're going to go. We've got to determine that we have got to be a soul-winning church. From our pastor's council to our Sunday school teachers to the preacher to the members, we've got to win souls for Him. You say, preacher, I'm tired of hearing that. It's over and over and over. It's too redundant. Well, friend, that's all that Jesus told His disciples to do. I'll get into that tonight. God willing. So, Father, I pray, God, even now, as I said in the beginning, God, help us. Even though, Lord, we want to be as comfortable as we possibly can be, God, help us. Help us, God, to be a soul-winning church. Help us, God, to fall under the burden that, God, we are looking for the lost. Every opportunity is a soul-winning opportunity. And Father, I pray, God, that you would be with every person in this room. God, help us to come back tonight at the appointed time to be here. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before you skediddle, skedaddle on out of here, ladies, ministries, please come right here and see Sherry really, really quick.